Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day.
Yeah, not in your mouth.
Hi, welcome to episode 065. Is that right? 065 of the Daughter of God cast? I'm not even sure anymore. There's been so many freaking episodes. Hang on.
Wow.
1 second here. Oh, we checked.
Is this it?
What?
Or is this it?
Is this it? What do you mean? Like, are we actually podcasting right now?
Is this it. Real life?
We're
right
real.
Now?
It doesn't get any more real than this, Josh.
Well, it feels amazing.
Yeah. My name is Dan Kelly. I'm eating oatmeal that Josh Holcomb made. This is Dee Dee Alder.
Hi.
This is Io, what? Holcomb Alder? Alder Holcomb?
Io May Alder.
Holcomb.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
We went alphabetical on the last
name. Say hi.
Say hi.
Alphabetical on the last name, just so it'd be easier
Alder,
to like.
Holcomb,
it would
you know,
go
A.
in the yeah. telephone book the right way.
Well, we want her to be AA because then she's going to be
That's
at the
cool.
top of the list.
AMA. Is
AMA.
Something on
AMA.
Reddit.
AMA
but it's
is.
It's also just. Because think about it. If you write it out, it's just AMA.
Isn't that like a music award or something?
AMA.
No, it's dentists.
Oh, okay.
American Medical Association.
Well, she's
oh, yeah,
growing.
Yeah, yeah.
She's growing. She actually grows her own teeth.
Really?
In her mouth.
The new models do that, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
Cool.
You just feed them and stuff.
Because it used to be you had to have wooden teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had to
what a pain that must have been. You know, whittle a new one every time you lost one.
Yeah. Or just like go and chomp onto a tree and wait. So anyway, this is 2017, and we were still talking about 2016 last episode, but, you know, whatever. Now we're talking about 2017. It's today, November 22nd. And if you find, let me warn you, there's a warning at the beginning about bad words and whatever, but really what we're going to warn you about right now is we're going to be eating and chewing with our and talking with our mouths open. So if you're that, like, you find that really gross, sorry. Tune out now and come back next week. We probably won't be eating next week. So we took a little break from the talking about the movie this week because these guys showed up and crashed my house. I want to try and make a video in one day for a song that they, these guys are musicians.
Hi.
Hi, yeah. Well, actually, I'll shut up. So who are you guys? Why are you here?
Well, we are Dee Dee and the Dream, which is based out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I used to live up north here with Dan. Do you tell him where you live?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Sorry,
it's all
disclose that. Yeah.
Okay, good. So we came here to the artist house to collaborate with Dan because Dan and I have had a number of collaborations over the years. Including performers in Keyboard and Plastic Duck, which goes way back.
Yeah.
You can Google search that and see
if you
find anything at all.
If you dare.
And so we've known each other a long time, so we decided to collaborate on this video. And Josh here can tell you more, but getting him to schedule some time that was free to shoot a video was quite difficult, so we got one day to shoot a video.
Yeah.
Because you teach, right?
I'm a teacher, and I teach 4 days a week.
What do you teach, Josh?
I teach violin and viola lessons.
I just got covered in
oatmeal. And general music ensembles. I try not to schedule stuff during the lessons because then it's a whole thing to reschedule. Like 10 individual lessons on a day.
So you, yeah, typically every day you've got a lot of lessons with kids. And so you can't really break that schedule because
I have to call them all individually and be like, oh, will you come on like Wednesday at this strange hour? And then it's all scattered around. I line them up, you know. It's really fun. It's a good way to do it. But then when something, when we've got a gig or something, and if it's a really good gig, I'll take it and then I'll scramble and, you know, and so, it works. But it's best to just keep it.
So wait, so we're just jumping around here, but that's fine. So you were talking about gigs. Do you guys, you have a band? What's the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a main band called Dee Dee and the Dreamers. And that Dee Dee's been playing that for a long time. Tell them how that band formed.
Dee Dee and the Dreamers came about at a festival. I asked to play the closing set at a festival called Harvest Gathering, which is put on by Earthwork Music. And the closing slot
was...
That's
my favorite thing every year, by the way.
Yeah, it's fun. Oh my God. The closing slot is at like 2:30 in the morning on Saturday. It's technically Sunday morning. And so I just threw together a band, and I thought the band name of Dee Dee and the Dreamers, because of the late hour, was a really great band name. And then...
It ended up being very appropriate.
It stuck. And
because didn't they like not show up? Or you didn't show up?
Yeah, I almost slept through my own set, but I made it.
You're just true dreaming.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories involved with the creation of the band, but that's the gist of it. And then Josh and I have been playing together as a duo a lot and creating our own musical landscapes and ideas. So that's how Dee Dee and the Dream came about, and that's kind of more free to be a little more explorative or just different.
We use loopers and effects and stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of do whatever.
So you guys do comes to us. You guys do mostly original stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of
we like to do covers too, though.
Yeah, we like to do covers that probably you wouldn't recognize as a cover. So it seems, you know, it's original and then fun, obscure covers.
So we're probably going to not talk much about the Daughter of God today, the Daughter of God on the Daughter of God cast, but these guys are kind of important in my ensemble of artists that I do things with, and we've got another musical collaboration we're working on that we'll talk about when it's a little bit farther along. X.
We'll tell you more about that another time.
But we thought we'd talk about what we tried to do in the last basically 48 hours, and just the hitches and the experience of trying to actually to do what we were trying to do, which was what? What was the thing that you guys proposed that we do from Tuesday, arriving middle of Tuesday, till Wednesday morning? Was it Tuesday or Monday?
Monday.
Middle of Monday to Wednesday morning. What was the objective?
We were going to try to shoot a music video, and we didn't have any audio, so we also needed to shoot and create the master audio track.
All at the same time.
Plus do a kind of cool, crazy video to this song called Strange Lullaby, which is a kind of Tim Burton waltz.
Breath in.
Your eyes. to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, as I sing this strange lullaby. Oh, please, please, please.
Was that we didn't really have any, we just said, we got, all we did was blocked out that time and said, we're going to actually get together at that time and do something.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk at all, make any preparation, you know, wisely or not so wisely. We just knew we were going to get together because we're all busy. Yeah. And okay, we're just going to schedule that time out and we're going to make something happen for this one song.
Yeah.
And Dee Dee and Josh sent me this song maybe a day or so before they showed up.
Right. We had one phone conversation that was... I showed Dan a costuming picture and the song, and I was like, he'll figure it out.
Totally.
Where are you going?
And so, hi. So, we got together, and Monday night we sat and we started to brainstorm a little bit. and talked about what we might want to do.
Quite a brainstorm. Almost a brain tsunami.
Here's our notes.
So many fun ideas.
No. Nuts in her mouth.
I don't think so, but she's got food.
One of the things we wanted to do was try and come up with some sort of thread that would carry us through the whole thing. Because lots of different ideas, visual things. It's this. I would say it's sort of like, you know, it's slightly a night, not nightmarish, but sort of a slightly dark lullaby.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Definitely. It's a lullaby, but it's not about soothing you and sugarcoating reality. It's about like really telling, giving you the truth.
You guys want to know?
And like, and then sit with that.
What I thought it was about. Well. I wrote the lyrics, so it's kind of in my mind. I picture it like you have those times where you're feeling really drained and like you going through a loss or whatever. You have like some kind of emotional drainage, and then you're in this role of comforting someone. And so the like best comfort you can do is kind of to be like, well, sometimes the world is not the nicest. And so you're like doing your best to kind of comfort someone while you're feeling really drained and at the end of your sort of energetic pool to offer much, but you're still trying to offer it. And there's this, also this song has this dynamic of like one character or person, which is the part I sing, is feeling really down and needing the comfort, and the other person is trying to comfort them, but their comfort is like they don't have a lot to give, so they're kind of just like, there really are no guarantees, and life is really, you know, not meant to just be easy. So, you know, it's a ride. It's not made to be mild.
I think that's so beautiful, and it reminds me of that story I was telling you, Dan, about when we got home from church, and then I was like in bed alone at night, and I just got so scared from something they had told us at church.
Right.
Which I'm for the intents and purposes of what it meant to me at the time, I will say was a lie. And like,
well, what did they say?
So they said that when you die, you're gonna live forever in eternity in heaven. And when, as a little kid, I was just like, they told me that, and I remember being in my bed and like I couldn't fall asleep, and just the idea of eternity, I couldn't comprehend it, and I just started crying. And my parents had to come in and comfort me. And I was just so freaked out by that. And, you know, like, I wouldn't say that, you know, I know that our souls don't, you know, go on after we die or something like that. You know, I don't know what happens. But what they told me, what it meant to me was, like, just me walking around in, like, some puffy cloud place and everything's perfect.
Forever.
Forever. And I was like, that's messed up, you know? That freaked me out. Because it's not true. And so when you try to comfort someone and you just, you know, tell them something that sounds nice, that doesn't help. You know, moral of the story. You have to be real about it. You know? So anyway, that's why I love this song. And it's not, you know, it's comforting in a real, like a deep way.
Right.
Comforting to your true soul, not just easing the tears away, or making things better right now, immediately.
And we had this long talk about all this stuff.
Behind you, getting that bowl.
Okay.
We had a long talk about all this stuff that Monday night, and just to, you know, what's this about, and what kinds of things can we suggest with it? And we came up with a lot of really cool ideas that certainly, with a little bit more time and gestation, could come and turn into something pretty cool. But whatever, no big deal.
Well, there's more time in the future.
No, the future has, well, in
we
case
can do more.
We never know. This could be a hologram and we could all be turned off in, you know, 20 seconds because alien PlayStation kids just said, all right, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Boom. Aww. Because you just don't know.
Yeah.
Hi. But... we then decided we needed one thing, which was going to be a master shot.
Yes.
And we're actually in the set right now of the master shot. This is it. I'm trying to lift this up. Hang on. This is the set of the master shot. These are some really elegant black sheets, sexy black sheets.
Good thing you washed them before we did this.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you guys maybe had slept on one of them before I put them up.
Nice.
And so we tried to create this sort of spacey, disappearing background, which worked pretty well. And we're going to take a look at that right now.
Well, that shirt I have is awesome.
Yeah, no, it is. But, like, I don't quite match you. Like, you got a black thing going on. I got a brown thing.
Yeah, so there you guys are. And, yeah, it definitely that. I think,
I mean,
and it's interesting, too, because, you know, you look at this from the context of of what you guys do is in performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's definitely like,
if it was like wood nice behind us or something.
Well,
be
I actually, this is kind of, it's a good test because you're here in front of this black space, which is kind of like a stage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you say, okay, I definitely think the pants are not a working choice and the shirt is a little too much, but it just shows you, okay, this is what it's kind of what we were talking about last night, Josh, about just getting in front of the camera over and over again and seeing how you look and practicing with that.
That helped, yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
She's let them fly.
So whatever. So we did this first thing with this costume and said, well, okay, Josh, let's do something different. So we have a costume change here, and we want to just see a little bit of Josh's underwear.
That's silk.
Before we move on.
Right there. But
is that a little pube action, or?
I'm not sure. I think it's just shadow.
I think he has shorts. I think he has shorts on.
Yeah, I have boxers on underneath.
Well, the best part about this is we had this costume change, and then we went and did a take, and I realized that Josh had a zipper down the whole time, so I'm like, oh.
What happened there?
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's good, because, you know, this is art.
Get some abs. Josh abs in there.
So I just went into my closet really quick and grabbed some different shirts to try different things, and we finally settled on just Josh going with Josh and Dee Dee both going with their other persona costumes. We had this idea of here are these people and they're regular performers, you know, playing in front of a crowd, but then they actually are performers in some other dimension, and they become these characters who have these vintagey costumes.
Yeah.
And we just were like, well, we wanted to do more of the regular stuff, but we just didn't have the right, I guess
the right combination.
Yeah, the darkness really kind of threw us off, I think.
This is better. This is much better, though.
Yeah, it's a little more subtle, but then I really like when you go into costumes. Let's just take a look at that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and
it's like this way, everything below, because when I had legs before, I was connected to the ground, but now we're both just floating torsos.
Yeah, and it's interesting because
and that's cool.
Because the vibe is kind of floating too. It's sort of just sort of hanging
right,
in space.
Right.
Especially with those vertical columns just kind of hanging there.
Yeah. Now everything's just floating in space.
Even though that shirt is bright, like you say, because the pants aren't distracting us.
Yeah.
Now you look like, and plus, of course, you get the whole vibe of like, I'm a waiter, or I'm a professional musician, or I'm, you know, whatever you are. You know, you're like, you're wearing this.
I could be anything.
Yeah, you're wearing this tuxy thing, and it's like all this other stuff gets suggested.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Dee Dee's got this kind of golden thing going on.
Right.
And, of course, the spotlights, I think, are really, it's interesting because it gives you all this stuff, all this information. And then there's that idiot who's, like, down in the corner who didn't realize he was in frame.
Yeah.
I'm going to fire that guy.
He's get that guy out of here.
He just can't seem to pull it together. And again, as I said, I would have liked this to be a little bit brighter, but it's fine. It's fine.
There's something, and we do just kind of blend into the black.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, awesome. It's interesting because it gets rid of a lot of extra personal movements.
And again, that's just this black right here, folks. I mean, this is some black sheets, and just we tried to do a little bit of very specific lighting on it, and then played around with the exposure to get this.
What's it say? It just emphasizes all the great parts of what's going on because,
right.
Like I was saying, my arms are most of what I'm doing, and the hands and mm-hmm. facial expressions. And everything else just disappears, and it's just the interesting parts. Same with Dee Dee. She just has a beautiful presentation of herself.
And
you see the arms.
And some of this is my brilliance and genius, but it's mostly an accident for the most part. I'll take a little bit of credit for it, but what's cool about it.
No, the vest just happened that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did do a little bit of arrangement of the marimba, right? Is that
yep.
Marimba. We did arrange the marimba a little bit so you guys could be in the same focal plane.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then that had this really nice kind of design where the marimba kind of cuts the keyboard and they have this make this little triangle and then you guys are there. Yeah, just the whole composition just kind of was fortunate.
Worked up.
So this was our master shot, and the idea was what Josh was saying, or I don't know, maybe it was you saying this, but the idea that if you're going to do a music video, you go to the studio first, you make a song, and then you come with the recorded professionally, you know.
Yeah.
But we tried to actually do sync sound as if you were in the studio recording this.
Yeah.
And to me, that is more exciting because, you know, you can do a studio thing, but to be able to have the sync sound from the actual performance, and really, that's not unrealistic for us to do. We have a slightly echoey room, and maybe the lake is going. but we just need a little bit more equipment
for
to be able
sure.
to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
We need pop filters for the mics, and we need, you know, maybe slightly different mics or whatever, and more daycare.
A big soundboard would help.
More daycare, and I think probably like being able to record the vocals separate might be a nice way to go too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you like know? do a track that's just a vocal track.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And
because then we could get the mics out of, figure out how to get the mics out of the shot.
Yeah.
But those were essential.
Yeah. And, after it's all said and done, I don't find them, like you guys were saying, I don't find them very distracting. They're actually kind of cool. You step away from them enough and there's...
There's so much that's not there, and so you strip it all away, and we clearly have just the basics, you know?
Right.
That's cool.
So I guess for me, the theme of this episode is really the idea of, okay, well, we came together, busy people, let's make something, and we just started whipping things together. And I think we had a bigger vision when we started, but we also were realizing that we're going to get whatever we're going to get. And so... Let's take a look at some of the other stuff we shot.
Great.
So
this was so fun to do these, Dan.
Just keep coming. Wind chill was pretty awful. So we had Josh out there in trying to do some things in the field, some odd circusy sort of things. In his vintage thing. Go ahead.
I loved this because it just felt like a very weird performance for like when do you ever perform for a very cold field? Usually it's for other humans or something. And it was just super cold and it was not the right clothes to be wearing in that kind of weather. And I was just juggling and it was just like, just juggle, Josh, just walk and juggle. I just like zoned into it, like hot yoga. Yeah, it's like so loud and hot and you're just like, I just gotta stretch and just be here right now. And if I do that, I'm succeeding.
Awesome.
It's like cold juggling.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No. My aunt taught me how to juggle when I was a kid, though.
Right. But like going out and, okay, I'm not gonna go and do this thing in these conditions that are not exactly ideal or fun or comfortable, I should say.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Because
it ended up being fun.
It ended up being fun.
Yeah.
It was just so absurd.
Okay, so we did a bunch of stuff in the field with you juggling, and let's just...
Can I talk about this image?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, do.
So the potential of this image...
Actually, this is the good image coming up here, too.
Oh, yeah, across. Nice.
I haven't seen this yet.
So the potential of this image is that the song has this kind of circusy vibe, and we were talking about kind of having, like, our roles in life be represented. Yeah, Aya's got an opinion on this,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
Our roles in life being represented as far as, you know, we put on these costumes and then we play a part. And so, this is a great shot.
Money shot.
Nice. So this kind of juggling brings in that circusy thing. It brings in the performance aspect. And then the starkness of the field could be a metaphor for just kind of like what's happening underneath. You know, that like you have this vibrant character.
Nice.
But like underneath is this kind of stark plain,
desolation almost.
Yeah, and sadness or, you know, whatever emotions might be happening.
I actually kind of like that with the camera jerking around like that. It was actually kind of interesting. You just barely saw him and it's like, what is going on? I like that. I like that a lot. And to me, it was also interesting too that how often you get a cello player who can juggle. Is that common?
Viola.
Sorry, viola.
The only one.
You're the only one ever?
That I know of.
Yeah. And to be so attractive. Look at how good he looks on camera.
I know.
Wait for this one. Thank you very much.
All right, so,
love that
so we
one.
Got, yeah, so that's cool. I like that.
Woo, and woo. Next.
So the next is, so this kind of, so you had no idea, Josh, you had no idea what I was doing here.
I knew it was close up. I like the out of focusness of it and like the partial, it's kind of off frame or whatever.
It's actually, it's funny.
I didn't know what was in frame when you were doing it.
Yeah. There's a weirdness to it. I mean, obviously it's weird, but.
Whatever. Sad. Whatever. Just talk about.
Never looked at my own mouth this close before.
Definitely need a lot of. Quite a sight.
Like the stubble.
Yes, you know. Yeah. You gotta eat
your greens. It looks good.
What was I talking about?
You can tell that you got uncomfortable about, you're juggling. Is that's what happened?
Yeah.
You
learned
juggle.
It's
what I was talking about.
You learn to juggle your fork and your knife and another fork.
That's good, that's good. I want a little more of that.
And then you get a bite of salad on each juggle and you go. And you get like,
So we dress Io in
baby.
In sort of peasanty clothing, and then we put her out in this cold weather for very short, brief moments in time. Because, you know, if you have a classic baby shot, we were talking about the symbolism of children, and it just comes with so much symbolism already. Papa! That's
your
you.
Hands are probably cold, huh?
That's Io.
This is so great, Dan.
It looks good.
We honestly have enough footage to just put a great video together as it is.
Whatever. Well, you know, the customer's always right.
Yeah, by the way,
you're mother and child.
Is the check in the mail?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I could just watch a video of Io for 6 minutes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we have to not do. Well, of course, she's beautiful, and but it's like, what? You know, for me, like, what are we doing? What's going on here?
Yeah,
and again, once, you know, you start juxtaposing images, it's like things start to happen that you never expected.
Totally.
So this could be, this could be amazing.
Like, Dee Dee holding Io and then cutting to her, like, doing the wheat, like, caring for the wheat. What a great parallel.
Yeah. And well, another thing, too, that is interesting for me is like, some of this is in focus and some of it is, like, slightly out of focus. And I can almost take it even more out of focus just because there's... It's like, it doesn't have to be pristine and clear.
Right.
It's like memories are often like that. They're fuzzy, and you get the idea that there's a mother and a child and a father or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah, the thread. Like, what are they doing out there right now?
Yeah, and it doesn't look cold. There's not snow blowing, so it's not really even... No one even would know that those are, like, sub-zero conditions.
That helps. A shot like this helps show that it's cold, that there's wind.
Yeah,
although it doesn't take much
sure.
to move a gram of birch bark. But if you see, like, the trees really swaying, that can
Behind you, you definitely see the branches.
Yeah, moving. Yeah.
That almost looks like Super 8 or 16 millimeter.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I like this little birch detail. Yeah,
that turned out nice. Yeah. I'm just a big fan of birches, too, I have to say. I
love birch.
Yeah, me, too.
You get chaga from them.
Yeah. Oh, and there's
I fell over the tree.
Classic Dee Dee laugh.
Well, the thing is that it's funny because, you know, Dan sets it up and then I'm wearing heels. And I'm like walking really close to this tree, which doesn't look insanely close in the camera.
Yeah, so...
Oh, that one is good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So we did a bunch of these forest shots and then...
Yes.
Dee Dee had this idea for the tall grass, and these turned out really nice. The really light on her is really soft and beautiful. And
yeah, I love this shot.
We had a bunch of ideas that we just kind of ran around and kept trying things to see what we could get. Because at this point, now we've done the master shot. This is Tuesday. We've done the master shot, and we've done probably 8 takes of that. And then we had maybe 3 hours left of daylight, 2.5 hours. And of course,
I think even less maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Hour and a half.
Let's go grab some stuff. But we probably pulled out of that 2 or 2.5 hours, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds of usable stuff.
Uh huh.
With the juggling, this grass stuff, maybe one of you walking, definitely some Io.
Right. How much? 15 seconds?
15 to 20. Maybe 30 seconds of usable material, yeah.
Really?
Yes. That's what I think. Right? It seems like more.
Couldn't we do this for... But you're just thinking like a little flash to this.
Well, it depends on how this is going to cut and what we can do with it. Like, again, I'm... Your song is how long? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Five-ish. And then I had the crazy idea of rolling around, which Dan is skipping, which is good. No,
that's
it's
hilarious.
Fine. We can just show him one shot.
Okay, keep going. Roll, roll, roll. You're in the middle of the frame right about now. Up, come back. You got to roll back the other way now, yeah. Roll sort of uphill in that direction if you can. And don't laugh. Come on, this is a rolling, sad rolling moment. She's rolling. Okay, now you're out of shot. Come roll the other way. I don't know what we're going to do with this. It's pretty odd.
Well, okay, and then we decided to bring Io into the grass.
Oh.
She's really excited.
Release the baby. Oh my God, that's awesome. Do it again.
She's got that sort of Amish whatever thing going on. I'm not sure what you call that. Peasant Amish.
Yeah,
Eastern
got...
European. She looks like a little Eastern European kid to me.
Yeah, totally.
Like a Hungarian or...
Well, that hat was made in Lithuania.
See? There you go. Oh, yeah, totally.
So great.
Yeah, that's great. Just a little end of that crazy blowing grass. It actually is. I mean, there with the blowing grass and her, it is kind of... There is a lot going on there. Whoa! All right, so let's go. Keep moving. Well, so what did we learn from this experience, Dee Dee?
What it's really like to shoot a video.
I learned that it's good to come into a video. You know, it's like there's so much that happens as an artist to prepare for just playing the music. But when you want to shoot a video, especially one that has like a lot of imagery and things, you need to think about the imagery and like what a storyline is or what a concept is.
Yeah.
And that'll help guide the footage. It'll guide what happens.
Yeah, and I mean the process of making a video doesn't have to be anything like the process of making the song.
Right.
Although clearly, I mean, as a person who likes to think of himself as a musician too, I like the idea of creating a video that really speaks to the song. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of like videos that just have nothing to do with the song at all.
Right, and there's actually a lot of music videos that exist out there that are like that.
Yeah.
That are just like make no sense, but it's better, which is probably the art. It's probably because musicians were in charge of the video and they're like, I don't know what this is about. I just wrote the song.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So taking it to that next level, which is really fun, or hiring or getting someone that can take it to the next level.
That's right.
Or starting a poll and having your fans take it to the next level. Whatever, you know, it needs to kind of be thought out, because I think that the visual metaphors are strongest if there's some kind of story or at least some kind of feel or imagery that's being alluded to or pointed out.
Yeah. Thanks. No, no touch.
No touch.
Look over there. Look, ready? Oh. Look over there. Look. What's over there? Wave. That's a camera. This is how famousness happens. Whatever. Yeah, and for me, I think what I learned from this was I don't think there's a problem necessarily with just getting together and doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
We just need way more block out way more time.
Yeah.
So if you had like 2 or 3 days and said we're going to do one song, and then because one of the things, of course, when you do production, you need to eat.
Yeah.
And you need to sleep.
Yeah.
And you need to, you know, someone needs to actually make sure that there is food to eat and that it's prepared, or that there's some food to actually prepare if you're going to prepare it yourself.
Yeah.
And there's all those logistics that have to happen. So it's a lot. It's a lot to try and do that and be the creators at the same time. Try and recruit a team of people to hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
Who are just support.
Yeah.
Just like a crew.
Yeah.
And we're all gonna have fun. We're gonna make dinner and whatever, do all the things we normally do. And then we have a lot more time also to let the ideas
simmer,
yeah.
Because I feel like if we were shooting more today, we have the master shot good.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's kind of...
Yeah, that was an accomplishment. We got that.
We got that. And so then it's like we could look at this video footage and be like, ooh, the grass and the wind is really cool. Maybe that can be the thread. Maybe just like this dry, crispy grass, you know, and we can... How do we work that in? How do we make that a storyline about something that's like alive and fresh, and now it's kind of like hollowed out, and like that's the starkness of that fits the song, and like maybe that could be the theme, and then we go look for grass, and what can we do in the grass? How can we make it interesting? What are some visually cool things? Like, we could just put the hat in the grass. What does that mean? You know, like we could do, and we could go out and kind of get a bunch, because, you know, if that's only 30 seconds, we would need a bunch more things with grass.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or places with grass, or just windy spots where the grass looks cool. And
you were talking about how much fun it would be for you just to basically make music and movies to go with those. Was I kind of reading that right? What was the
yeah.
thing? Yeah, yeah. That sounds like something.
It's such so many possibilities that you can get into.
Do you?
This video, all the stuff that we've done for this video so far, I think we've got a lot of good stuff, and you know, it'd be cool to do it ongoing and come up with a bunch more shots or anything, but it might be cool to just call this one good at some point.
Yeah.
And then come back and do a new video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do a bunch of more.
Yep.
And just approach it from the beginning in a different way, using what we learned about how we all work together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the process, you know.
Do you feel the same way? Do you like making the movies as much as you make the music? I mean, that's a really big question to ask.
You know, I would say that generally I've found myself less comfortable with a camera in my face.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've come over like a new threshold that feels okay. Because I'm really good when I like photographic cameras in my face, like I can do all the little things, and I'm still learning, you know. You just like do yeah. you know what kind of looks good. You have to be a little over dramatic, and so I'm still learning how to do that on actual video when it's moving, but I have it inside of me, and so it's pretty exciting to do video, but it's not something I'm super comfortable, but I like doing it. It's part of the art, you know. It's all part of the creation of a song. You play in front of a performance, you practice and rehearse the song, you write the lyrics, you know, you promote and do photo shoots, and so this is part of it, and all of that is really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's great. It's exciting. I love working with you, Dan, because you're super clear about I've worked with other people that are maybe more like camera people that are just kind of like, all right, now do your thing. And I'm just like, my thing
is... Give me some magic.
Right, and I'm like, my thing is performing. And I don't have my instrument here, and I'm not on a stage. And like, I don't know what my thing is. I don't have a thing. What's my thing? You know, and so Dan's really great about showing, you know, like, this is where the camera is. This is the frame. And then I can sort of see where that is in real life.
You mean
then,
I call you over to look at the
frame? Yeah, you're like, come look. This is where the frame is. This is where the action's happening, you know. And just have, and here's like a visual idea if I need that kind of a thing. And then he's like, now do whatever you want, you know. So there's this freedom to kind of do my thing, but a little more direction. Like, don't walk that way. There's a road. So you got to walk the other way, you know. So the road's not in the shot. And, so that was really fun working with you, because I felt like I could relax and kind of do some different things and try them out and see what they look like.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminded me of what we've been learning about attachment parenting.
Okay.
And how, like, our job as parents is to always be there for her, like, as much as possible. We can't always do it. Well, that doesn't mean we need to, like, wean her off and be like, the world's harsh, like, get up yourself, you know, go find yourself some food. It's like, as much as we can be there for her, we'll do it, and that'll give her, like, this confidence and trust and all these beautiful characteristics. And I felt like you were there for us as a director as much as you possibly could be. So we're out in a field, and it's like, okay, what do we do now? And you're like, well, try this,
yeah,
you know? And so you're there to give ideas when ideas are needed and everything. So I felt supported by you in the process.
Cool.
And it was fun.
We're pretending to be these, you know, dualistic human beings, and we're pretending to be these things all the time. And oftentimes we'll realize, oh my gosh, I don't actually have to be that person at all anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's really just the same thing standing in front of a camera that we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see it that way. We're so thinking, I think, sometimes about
yeah.
who we actually are. My name is Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
And I have, my mom's name is whatever, and I have these friends, and I, you know, whatever. I'm divorced because what, it's like, whatever. What is all that?
Yeah.
And I like these things and I don't like these things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so you get in front of the camera, it's like, well, I get to try something else out and just want, you know, it's only for a few minutes and it may not work and who cares?
Yeah, and I think the other thing about it is, I mean, obviously if we were professional actors, we'd have a bigger toolkit to draw from. as far as like portraying emotions and like knowing what our face is doing, that kind of stuff. But I find that if I have like picking that grass in the field, I think that was a really beautiful shot. And it's just like I had something to do and I got to just be myself. Like
That's it.
Yeah, and it's beautiful and it looks great. And so the more, you know, I can do stuff like that. And if we want to portray a specific emotion, then a lot of times I find if you give a person a second to kind of think about something, whatever the emotion is that reminds them of that, and just do a very close face-up shot of them staring off and thinking about that thing, you can portray that pretty easily.
You're saying in just like still photography?
No, just in like if you did a video, even if it was like a close-up, you could see kind of the thoughts that come across their face. You know, it can be a shorter shot. Obviously, if we're like memorizing lines and playing those roles, that's less comfortable for us. But that's not what we're doing here anyway. We're using imagery as a metaphor for something we never figured out.
Wait, I thought we were gonna pretend like we had something that they were gonna never figure it out.
Yeah.
And that keeps them coming back to the video over and over again.
Like, right, yeah, exactly. Well, that
was one of our thread ideas.
Yeah. The thread of like, well, we'll make it so mysterious.
Pretend there's a thread.
And then like really, yeah, like this, well, we really don't want to reveal everything so blatantly. It was really cool how we subtly kind of introduced these concepts and let the audience find it, discover by going deeper in, you know, yeah. But, and we could still do that. We may still pull that stunt. Pull it off, yeah.
It could happen, but it'd be nice to have some kind of something, whatever.
Well, so
it's done now.
Friday night, they're going to be playing at St. Ambrose,
yep.
Which That's is right. a meadery.
Mm-hmm.
They make tasty, mead.
Tasty mead.
And beer.
Really good beer.
And Dee Dee's bragging about their beer. I mean, can't even believe it even comes close to Stormcloud, but whatever. And they brew it themselves, right?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
All right. Okay.
Fantastic.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Well, I guess I'll be there.
You'll try it. You can tell me.
Yeah.
What did you learn about it?
Yeah.
I learned about the difference between what an idea of shooting a video in my head is like versus what actually happens in reality. That's a big thing for me in my life. My idea of what things are like and then what they actually are like. And sometimes it's just hilariously different, you know? So, like, an idea of, like, you know, when we're brainstorming, what's actually possible? What is the scope of what we could do? And I feel like having that mindset adjustment could help us be more successful in the video, you know? To keep that in mind, what's actually possible?
Sure.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But also like the openness of the process.
Even in the brainstorming sessions and all that stuff.
Yeah. To keep that in mind every step of the way.
Well,
The more you know, it just informs the little decisions you make.
The other thing about it, though, is like, let's say we came up with a storyboard, a very specific idea, and it's like, okay, we want it to be this composition and blah, blah. You might actually, again, depending on what we're going for, mm-hmm. we might spend as much time composing that shot as we did composing the master shot. Yeah. Just getting ready and getting set up and then going, okay, go. Yeah. And that's only going to be 10 seconds of the whole video, but it takes us a day to shoot it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that's, again, that's a choice. It's a choice we make with our resources and time and whatever to see what things are the most highest priority thing, which is why we chose the master shot as the first thing we would do, because now we have a whole video already, even if we don't add anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, I think that for me, the thing I learned too was I think that I want to have enough equipment to pull that off, to pull off live music recording.
Mm.
I almost do.
Yeah, totally.
Almost do. I mean, I'm fairly happy with the recording we got. Again, we needed a few extra tools, pop filters and whatever else. Make sure we got way more cables than we need.
A couple extra mics.
More inputs. And then different kinds of mics too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just... That to me is kind of a goal. I want to have all that stuff. So next time we do this, there won't be any question that we have exactly what we need to pull off a really nice live sound recording, sync sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be cool.
Yeah, and then we can go anywhere with that. I mean, that's the other thing about the studio is it's portable. So you could do it if it's not a super windy day or super cold. You could do a live recording outside.
Mm.
That'd be awesome.
And I'm not sure that's, you know, as a musician, I don't know whether that ambient, you know, do you want a certain sound when you record a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does it have to be a closed room with like...
There's openness, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... You know, like if we were out by the lake for Strange Lullaby, that might be really nice. Just have the quietly lapping waves, you know.
Yep.
Could be really cool.
But then you also get dogs barking and cars driving
by.
Sometimes
it works, but you know, some people really want it to be crispy and exist in this realm that's a little outside of just normal mundane life. But I like that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dog barking.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're depends. It has to work, you know.
But yeah. And you're fine both ways. I mean you could...
I've done it both, but I would say if I had a preference, I'd like the music to be nothing distracting in the music. Yeah. So it's just pure, full.
You control completely.
Completely controlled. And then because there's already enough things that happen in the music spontaneously, even like when you have a plan. And so.
And we don't call those mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, they're just variations.
They're surprises.
Right. But they really aren't mistakes. They variations. But in my mind, it's a mistake because I was supposed to hit that thing and I didn't hit the thing and I hit another thing. But
is this the flying squirrel? Is this going to go to the next photo in a sec?
Is there a flying squirrel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally looks like a high school stage. Oh my God, look at you. Wow, nice. Nice. This is the flying squirrel. I guess I must have missed this part.
Yeah, me and James were having fun with that shirt.
Yeah, I don't know if you realize, but that's actually a wingsuit. Yeah, people jump off.
Yeah, I figured that out.
Yeah, it's Tibetans used to fly off mountains with those things.
That's how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they just like meditated. No, and all levitating.
The whole spiritual thing is a bunch of.
You gotta have a wingsuit,
right?
You gotta
have a special wingsuit.
I knew it.
And you have to have the yak thread stitching on it.
So this
it
is how you levitate right here.
Yeah, nice chest.
You just flash a
look at that. Like, there's a strong picture of a thing.
That's some stock, stand salesman footage right there.
So it looks like your baby is now beginning to drift off into sleep, I'm thinking. And so it probably means that you guys got to get in a car seat and go.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we're good. I guess we're done. Thanks for listening. This has been Daughter of Godcast episode 065. What's the title of this episode?
Love. Dream. Love is all you need.
Yeah, that's a long title.
Yeah.
Love is
dreamy.
All.
Dream, because you don't have
just
dreamy.
Just the dream.
The dream, there you go.
The
sweet.
Dream.
The dream.
The dream, because it could be the dream of this video or the dream of what is it that your dream is, the dream.
We don't even know.
Okay, I like that. That's great. And so, yeah, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks, Dan.
Love you.
All the royal us.
Yes, it's been a pleasure to be with you.
Nice.
And experiment with you and have fun. And
yeah.
It's been lovely to be with you, Josh, and Aya was perfectly timed, even though we didn't have enough childcare. Her timing was right on.
She did a good job.
She was
a badass out in the fields. I mean, she was like, I don't want to stay in the car. Let me out in that cold and let me run around and do stuff. I'm bored in here.
Yeah. She wanted to participate and she was in. She was full into this video
and
making process.
Yeah, we totally talked to the child union before we brought her on, and they were, you know.
She's getting fairly compensated.
Yeah.
In Cheerios.
Yeah. Cheerios, really?
Are they actual
Cheerios, or are they, like, good for you Cheerios?
Yeah, not actual Cheerios. Those are gross.
Yeah, the generic, like, Kleenex, you know, the idea of the platonic idea of Cheerios.
Who would eat Kleenexes?
Well, you know, people say, could I have a Kleenex? It's really just a tissue.
Yes.
But they call it, so,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like a Frisbee.
Or like a...
But a Frisbee is a company, but a disc, a flying disc
yes.
is what you're throwing
mm-hmm.
if it's not a Frisbee.
Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking, like Google. I'm going to Google that. There, it's a verb now.
Yeah.
Gone. Done.
That's actually in
but
the dictionary
But most people
now.
Do Google on Google.
Yeah.
But some don't.
That's right.
When
you don't have to Google on Google.
Yeah, you can Bing it or something.
But no one would say that.
Yeah.
I mean, just Bing you right now.
I don't actually
Excuse
know.
Excuse me.
I don't think anybody actually says, I'm going to Google that. Do
oh,
they?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
have you guys said that? Did I say that at all this week?
What rock are you living under?
People say...
Do you own a computer?
I don't really know how they work.
Well, it's really simple. It's basically like you're in a warehouse, and the warehouse builds the computers, and the processor...
Oh, my God. Teaching is the best way to learn. Go ahead, Josh. Do it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it for real. Okay, so the hard drive is like all the raw materials for what the computing needs to compute. And it's in a warehouse.
Sorry, I'll show you.
The computer is the warehouse.
No,
the warehouse is where you...
hard
drive is the warehouse. That's where the raw materials are kept.
Yep, like steel and concrete and wood.
Yeah.
And,
okay, all the ones and zeros are in the warehouse. And then you have the processor, and the processor is like the people deciding what to do. What are they going to build? Are they going to build some ducks? Or are they going to build some pans out of steel? You could build steel ducks or steel pans.
Ducks. Actually, I was thinking ducks that go quack, but ducks, that actually
No,
works.
That's what I was saying is ducks Sorry, that I was, go
I
quack.
Was like, when I was telling you, explaining to you, I was like thinking about ducks that go
oh, me
quack.
Too.
Steel,
that's what
steel
I was...
sculpted ducks, yes.
No, that's what but, I was
but,
still thinking.
But like air ducks.
Air ducks would be more practical.
Okay, keep going.
So, the processor decides what you're going to build out of this stuff from the warehouse, which is the hard drive. And then the RAM is like the floor of the warehouse where everything is being built. And temporarily it becomes whatever you need. And you can change it if you decide to build something else. Your RAM will be like, oh, you want to get on Facebook now or you want to look at your photo collection.
That's the software. The software changes.
Yeah, the software, which is on the hard drive.
It's like the machines on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm confused.
It's all good.
Yeah. I'll have to like make a whole chart.
A Venn diagram.
Yeah. That's how I really download things to my brain. As I like to write it down. I have like little bubbles and things.
So the thing
but
is...
I've got a lot of good ideas. It's very dreamy at this point.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That was good. We'll work on it.
Okay. Now, Dan.
Yeah.
Can you explain to us the difference between an augmented fifth and a diminished fifth?
Okay, so typically, hang on. So there's
we were talking
there's,
about
there's steps between there's steps between notes. There's either a half step between a note, like, or there's a whole step.
Very okay? good.
And a fourth actually is a fourth, which is basically it can be. Five half steps, or it can be four half steps.
Not really.
No, that's wrong.
Well, it would be a diminished fourth if it was four half steps.
Right.
Or so, a major third.
But yeah, but that wouldn't don't go.
But now you're going. Now you're going to diminish an augmented fifth.
Right.
Which to me, I just remember
fourths,
that being.
Yeah.
Oh no, but you said fifths in your question.
Yeah, I did. But that.
Thank you. See, that's why fourths. I was like, I'm fucked because
yeah,
I don't,
no, let's
we didn't talk
about
fifths at all. Well,
yeah.
we did.
But the thing is, they're the same
okay.
as fourths,
okay,
but bigger.
Right. Got it. So a diminished fourth
yeah.
would actually, or an augmented fourth would actually be a five halves with one more, six
yeah.
half steps.
Yes, that'd be the augmented. Yeah.
Right. And a diminished fourth would be four steps, four half steps.
Right, right.
Huh?
And
the shop floor,
it.
And the shop floor, and the factory.
Yeah.
And the RAM.
Yeah,
and
because,
actually,
because of the building codes,
and
you have to leave a fire
yeah.
safety lane, so you can't move that far out. You can only have five steps.
Right, in half steps, yeah, in the diminished factory.
Yeah.
Okay. God, super.
Let's have an augmented Christmas.
Have an augmented Christmas. Oh, look at that. That looks like you guys are going out to, like, a bar or something.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We look
okay, leaving
classy.
The baby with the babysitter and off you go. That was like my mom and dad when I was a kid. They'd
yeah,
be
totally.
Going off to some fancy thing and leaving with a babysitter.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
It's so great to have all this footage. Even just for family memories to have some of this stuff.
Totally.
Is that freaking
no. I haven't yet learned to change diapers, and I'm
Did
not
she
sure
say
I
poop?
Will.
She just stirred to only say poop.
Poop.
She just said poop, 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 poop.
In French, it's le poop. Le poop.
No, it's not.
Le poop.
Yeah.
Don't believe.